So today I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit, my help. My help. Now, what do you think of when you think of help? You think of somebody coming alongside and helping you, right? You think of somebody, I need help with this. You know, I need help with that. Whatever it might be. And you might be thinking of projects in your house right now. I need help with that. I need help with that, right? You might be thinking of something that you just need some assistance in. Something that is beyond you. Something that you've been pushing on or pulling on, and you just need it to move a little bit. You need it to kind of go in the right direction, and you feel like you might be alone. I want to bring you a word today that I believe will matter, that will matter to you, because you're going to walk away from today and this week and say, okay, the Holy Spirit's my help. The Holy Spirit is my help. Now, I'm going to just ask kind of spontaneously, I want you to do it in one sentence, please, if you have a testimony of where the Holy Spirit has been your help. One sentence, and just go ahead and just raise your hand and say it. If you want to come on up here, you can say it, but I want you to just give voice to that moment that the Holy Spirit helped you, all right? So I'm opening up right now. All right, Miss Navi, come on.
Hallelujah.
All right, hallelujah. Right out of the gate, Miss Navi.
Amen.
All right, the Holy Spirit is your help.
Hallelujah.
Yes, he's my help. Last week sometime, I put chicken in the oven, and I take it out. There was a lot of grease on it. It fell right on my foot. Oh. And I screamed, I said, Jesus! And so I ran to the bathroom, I washed my foot. Nothing happened. And my grandchildren, everybody come and says, nothing happened to you?
Amen.
I said, of course, I call on the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
He is God. Help. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
So anyone else, you have a quick testimony about the Holy Spirit has been your help. We have been in the middle of this pandemic. And I know for many of you, he has been your help. He's been your help, but in many different ways. But I want to just give a chance for you to open your mouth. The Bible tells us that testifying is the spirit of prophecy. And so when we actually testify of God's goodness, we are the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so it's really important. Nobody? Okay. All right. I'm just leaving it open just for a minute. All right. So he's our help. He's our help. And this is what the Lord gave me for today, that the Holy Spirit living in you in moments that matter. The Holy Spirit living in you in moments that matter. I know that there have been moments in your life and in my life, and maybe right now your memory bank is starting to flood full of those moments, just like Miss Navi shared, where the Holy Spirit has been your help and you called on him. And just as we were singing about the name of Jesus, he came through in that moment. The Holy Spirit is our help. He's our help. And so I actually looked up the word, and it's sunatilambana. And then it ends with a nomai. You know it's a big Greek word when it ends with a nomai. And it actually means to take hold of, opposite, together. To take hold of, opposite, together. In other words, to cooperate. So I want you to picture, maybe a tug of war. Okay, maybe you've been in a tug of war before, and it feels like the enemy is winning on something. Well, the Holy Spirit is a picture where he's going to come in, and he's going to take hold of the rope with you against what you are standing against. And he is your help. He is your help. You know, the Word of God also talks about that he is our paraclete. That he is the one who comes alongside. He is one who is just like Jesus, and he comes alongside. Because how many of you know that when the Holy Ghost is invited into a situation, he can make things different. He can change things. This morning as I was praying through this message and thinking about times in my life where the Holy Ghost came through. Times in my life where, just like when Miss Navi talked about calling out on the name of Jesus in those moments. And that phrase just kept sticking out to me, that the Holy Spirit living in you in moments that matter. The Holy Spirit living in me in moments that matter. And then I started thinking about, well, Lord, what moments matter? And he said, every moment matters. And I was like, wow. And I think he was just trying to get my attention. That our day-to-day grind of just going through the motions, our going to work, and maybe we're unhappy at our jobs. Maybe we're just kind of slogging it out, as they say, or just going through the motions. And I want you to be aware that the God on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit living in you, in moments that matter, every moment, makes a difference. Because then when things happen, because we live in a fallen world, things do happen. Trouble does come. The enemy does come and try to throw some roadblocks. He tries to throw some discouragement your way. He tries to get you focused on the wrong thing. And when he gets you focused on the wrong thing, he gets you ignorant of the fact that we have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the guide on the inside, living big within us. The moments that matter in our lives, and the Lord brought me back to many. My brain just started flooding of times that he's been there for me personally, where he's been here for our church, where he has been here in moments of crisis, you know, when some of you have gone through crisis. Amen. And I've had to rush to the hospital, when some of you have been in difficult situations, I have seen the Holy Spirit live inside of God's people in moments that matter, living big on the inside. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we've been using that as a key verse. We talked in the last several weeks about the Holy Spirit's power coming upon us and how that was important. If it was important to the early church, it should be important to us. If praying in other tongues, as I mentioned and emphasized last week, was important to the early church and St. Paul himself, then it should be important to us to be full of the Holy Spirit. As it talks about in Ephesians, to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Because we leak. We leak. And we're supposed to leak. We're supposed to leak on a world that needs us right now. They need us right now.
Yeah.
Right now. They need us. They need us to rise to that challenge and realize it's the Holy Spirit living on the inside in the moments that matter. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God is calling you. Believers. Believers. You know, I think in this day and age, I think it's going to be really important to not just call yourself a Christian, but to say I'm a believer. Because I really think that that takes it a notch a little bit different. Because there's a lot of people out there that are trying to neuter Christianity and take the power right out of it. And try to just make it that anything goes. And I've got news for you. The power of the gospel is to them who believe. And that's why the Apostle Paul can say in Romans chapter 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God living on the inside of you. Say, the Holy Spirit's my help.
The Holy Spirit's my help.
My help. That makes it personal. Turn to me with Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Romans 8 and verse 26. We're going to go ahead and look at that. In Romans 8, 26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." One translation says, "with intelligent speech." And so when we look at these things, that the Holy Spirit is here to be your help. He's here to help you in your weakness. I looked up that word weakness. It has to do with disease, infirmity, sickness, weakness, feebleness of mind or of body. By implication, malady, morally, frailty, disease, infirmity, weakness. What are those moments for you that the Holy Spirit has brought that strength to you when you needed it? When the news that came from the doctor that you didn't want to hear, when the news that came from a relative of something you didn't want to hear, and the Holy Spirit strengthened you on the inside. If you ask Pastor Christine, during that time, several years back when I had my brain surgery, she said that when Pastor Rothna in the waiting room at Northern Westchester Hospital prayed for her, she felt strength literally come to her body like somebody just kind of stepped in. That's the Holy Spirit in those moments, in every moment of life. He is there for you. Say, "The Holy Spirit's my help." See, the truth is, every moment matters to God. And while we're here on earth, every hurt, every pain, every trouble, He is there. He is there to lead you. He's the comforter. He is the parakletos. In the Greek language, that means the advocate, the comforter, an intercessor, a consoler when you've lost something. He is a consoler. He is a comforter. He is an advocate. He is the intercessor, the one who stands in the gap between you and that situation. I got news for you. The Holy Ghost is your help. John 14, verse 15. John 14, starting in verse 15. Jesus said these words. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper. Yes. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you." Say, "but you."
But you.
Say, "but I."
But I.
"I know him."
I know him.
Say, "I know him."
I know him.
"For he dwells with you and will be in you." I don't know if you remember, and you know that sometimes I love these elf illustrations for the movie Elf because I love that movie. It's such a funny movie. But I don't know if you remember when Santa, or the supposed Santa, was in the department store. And Elf sees or hears that Santa is coming. He starts to jump up and down. He goes,
I know him!
I know him! If I could get one thing across to you today as a child of God, the Holy Spirit's your help, and He lives on the inside of you in every moment of life. You know Him! You can jump up and down and, "I know Him! I know Him! The Holy Ghost, yeah, my help. I know Him. I know Him." And I love that. It says the world can't know Him. So why is the church letting the world tell us how to think? Let that settle.
Amen.
We know the Holy Ghost on the inside. Yeah. Jesus said, it's because they neither see him, they don't know him, but you know him because he dwells in you. The Holy Ghost is your help. John 1:12 says this, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name."
Amen.
Glory to God. You see, he is your help. He is your help. Say, the Holy Ghost.
The Holy
Spirit. If that is the Holy Spirit is my help. He's my help. We need help. One of the first things that they teach in any kind of 12-step recovery program basically is, I'm helpless and I need help. I'm powerless, right? But aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that as a believer, a child of God, you don't have to stay powerless? But you can receive power from on high to be his witness. The Holy Ghost is my help. What is he my help to do? He's my help to be led. He's going to lead me. He's going to lead me. Romans 8:14. He's going to lead me. He's going to lead you. I want you this week to realize that the Holy Ghost not only is your help, but he's specific. He's specific. He can lead you. He can lead you. He will lead you into truth. But Romans 8:14 says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Be led of the Spirit of God. Don't be led by your emotions. Your emotions will run you shipwreck if that's all you're listening to. Now, let's balance this, Pastor. God gave you an emotion for a reason. It's okay to have emotions, but the emotions are not supposed to run your life.
Right.
If you feel sad, just don't stay there.
Amen.
God gave us emotions so that we could live and experience so many different wonderful things in life. But I got news for you. If you allow the emotions to rule your life, they will shipwreck you. You can't allow fear. You can't allow worry. You can't allow depression or despair to cause you to just be ineffective and be defeated. And you say, but Pastor, you know, sometimes people really do have, they need to take medication. They need something to help. That's fine. You go right ahead and do that. But don't stay in the moment of sadness. I'm not condemning anybody. I have minister friends that have had to take medication. I'm just telling you that the God's best is that we understand the power that's within us.
That's right.
God's best is that. Until we can get to that, if you have to take something to help you, that the doctor prescribes. You hear me? Then go ahead and do that. We want you on planet Earth. We want you staying healthy. We want you staying. Many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God.
Yeah.
Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, it's not just about us. I know him. He knows you. He knows where you're at. He can see all through the mess that you're going through.
Amen.
He can see right through it. The fog, the smoke screen, the depression, the despair, the anger, the worry, the resentment, the bitterness. He sees right through it. And if you'll allow him, he can change that. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 16 and verse 13. I'm giving you a lot of scripture because I think we need that. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. He's going to lead us and guide us into all truth based on the Word of God. And now listen to what John 16 and verse 13 says. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come.
Yes.
Do you know you have inside information?
Come on.
You have inside information.
Come on.
In this life, in this world, you have inside information. You know what you get to do. If you'll listen, and if you'll listen close, he'll tell you things to come. He'll whisper things to you and say, stay away from that. Move past that. Don't engage in that. Get yourself out of that conversation. Sometimes we need to do that. Get quiet. Listen, he wants to tell you stuff. He does. He wants to tell you things to come. He wants to sometimes whisper your name and say, Navi, come over here. But if you are too noisy in your head, you won't hear when he says those things. That's why when we allow his word, he can speak right through the word. He'll tell you what to do next. He'll tell you who to call, what to do, where to go. Years ago when I was working as a night security guard for an assisted living facility in New Canaan, Connecticut, I had to drive all the back roads from here or my house all the way over to New Canaan, Connecticut. It's all back roads. It's 35 minutes of nothing but back roads. And as I was driving one night, there's a couple ways I could get home. I could take this one. I could take that one. I could go over through South Salem and go past Katona. Or I could come up through Mount Kisco and come out through almost Greenwich, Connecticut, and then come through the back door and come to Mount Kisco. Or I could go all the way up and go through Ridgefield, Connecticut, and go home. And if you've ever driven the back roads in Westchester and Fairfield County, they're back roads. They're narrow. They're windy. And sometimes, late at night, they can be treacherous. I remember one night I was getting ready to leave to go home. And I had done a shift there, and I was getting off pretty late. And sometimes it was an overnight shift. Sometimes I'd get off really late. And I remember I kind of got in a groove of going a certain way, where I'd come in through the back door of Katona, Route 35, and I'd come in through South Salem and come that way. And so I was buzzing along in my car, and the Holy Ghost said, "Don't go this way. Don't go this way." Why? He showed me things to come. He just told me, "Don't go this way." Mm-hmm. Now you say, did you find out, Pastor, that there was an accident or there was some kind? No, I didn't. I just listened. Mm-hmm. I had a perfect time getting home. Took me an extra 3 minutes because I was timing. Took me an extra 3 minutes, but I got home safely. Why do I tell you something as simple as that? Because it doesn't have to be dramatic when he tells you things to come.
Amen.
Sometimes it can be those little things. And if you'll learn to listen in the little thing, you can listen in the big thing. You can listen when he tells you, you know what? You don't need to get on that airplane. And because you know that voice and you've obeyed it in the little things, it'll be easier for you to say, excuse me, can I change my flight? I know ministers that they've done that. And they've missed out on a plane crash. Again, I'm not trying to say that to keep you in fear. I'm trying to say that the Holy Spirit is your help. Say, the Holy Spirit, is my help. He's your help to live in this life. He's your help to overcome. He will lead and guide you. God has sent his Holy Spirit so that we can be led of him. So that we can be led of him. Now, he also sent the Holy Spirit so that we can love. So that we can love like no one else. So that we can be led by him. And so that we can love like Jesus loves. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 5. Again, speaking of kind of living in this fallen world that we live in. It says, and not only, verse 3, not only, Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the love of God was poured out into our hearts. So the Holy Spirit, not only is he our help, not only does he want to lead and guide you, he also wants to teach you how to love. John 13, 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Jesus said that people would know that we're Christians because of our love one for another. Church, do not allow the world system to come in and divide you over any ideology, over any politics, over anything that is out there. Let's be believers that are kingdom-minded in everything. Jesus said that the world would know that we're his disciples because of our love, because of our love walk, because of how we love, because of how we love the unlovable, because of how we reach out, because of how we do these things. And sometimes, as a church, we haven't always done that well. Just being honest. We haven't done that well. Sometimes we have to catch up on certain things. You know, I'm thrilled with the fact that the Pentecostal traditions of the church, especially since the early 20th century until now, have always been about people from all walks of life. The rich, the poor, the people of color, the people not of color. It brought everybody together, the educated, the uneducated. If you study the Azusa Street revivals, they were everybody.
Yeah.
They were everybody coming together,
Yeah. Experiencing
God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
I want you to know that God has a place for you to be used, and it's called his kingdom.
Yes.
It's his kingdom. And the world will know that you are my disciples because of your love one to another. Jesus said this in Matthew 22 and verse 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Our love one for another. So the Holy Spirit is my help to be led. The Holy Spirit is not only my help to be led, but the Holy Spirit is my help to love.
Yeah.
It's my help to love. He will help you love the unlovable. And we're all human. And sometimes certain personalities you click with and certain personalities you don't. Mm-hmm. We're all very different. Every one of us, though, is made in the image of God. Every one of us. When you look into the eyes of somebody, even that you dislike, do you know that they've been made in the image of God? It is so vital that you allow the Holy Spirit. Remember, as we started this out today, it is the Holy Spirit who is our help, living inside of us in every moment of life. In the moments that matter, in the tough moments, in the easy moments, when life is going well and when life is not going so well, the Holy Spirit is our help. He's our help to be led so that we'll know where to go and when to go and what to do and what to say. He'll give you words to say when you don't know what to say. And sometimes he'll tell you to keep your mouth shut. In fact, one of my mentors from a distance. I wish I would have known him more intimately, would have been Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, Reverend Hagin. I would have loved to have known him. I shook his hand twice. Sat on the front row of some classes, looked into his steely eyes when he was ministering the Word of God, and just absorbed that anointing and loved to hear him illustrate the truths. And several of you that are here, and maybe you're watching, you've been in those situations. An amazing man of God. You know, he's known to be the father of the faith message.
Yeah.
But if you ask people, what was the characteristic of him in his daily life? And they'd say his love walk. He refused to be offended. The man was not a bitter man. He could have been on several counts. He could have been, but he chose not to be bitter. He chose the way of love every single time. Every single time he chose the way of love. Wouldn't that be an inspiration to all of us that we choose the Holy Ghost who's living on the inside of us? He's our help to love like never before. He's our help to love. Jesus said that all the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments, that we would love. That we would love. Do you know that I believe that the Holy Spirit, based on my study of the Word of God, he was sent for us to learn to laugh, even in difficulty. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Turn with me to Romans 15. Romans 15. You'll see what I'm talking about here. Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you would abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is my help to laugh. It's my help to laugh, even in difficulty. Even in difficulty. You know, sometimes you just gotta laugh it off. It's not worth it. It's not worth getting knotted up inside. Why? Because you've got the guy on the inside. I know him.
Amen.
I know him. And when you hear about the Holy Spirit's work in somebody's life, you'll be like Elf. I know him. And some of you have experienced this in your workplace. Somebody comes up to you. You didn't say a word to them about being a Christian. You didn't have 18 bumper stickers on your car. That doesn't make you a good witness. If you're going to have a bumper sticker on your car, make sure that the witness follows what you put on your car.
Oh, yes.
One time I'm digressing here. I was driving down the road, 169 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and a guy pulls out, cuts me off, and then he gave me some kind of gesture out the window. And I looked, and the back of his car had a big fish. And I thought, love you too, brother. All right, let's go look at that again. Romans 15, 13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. And then you'll overflow with confident hope. This is the New Living Translation. Same verse we just read. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of verses about laughter. God created laughter. You know, it's okay to laugh.
That's right.
It's okay to laugh in church, too.
Amen.
It's okay. Genesis 21, 6, Sarah actually declared, God has brought me laughter. All who hear about this will laugh with me.
Come on.
When you see God working in your life, they're going to laugh with joy. And, you know, Psalm 2, 4 says, but the one who rules in heaven laughs. God laughs at things. He laughs. So we've been created in his image. Psalm 30 and verse 11 says, you've turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You've taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. So the Holy Spirit is my help to laugh. He's my help to laugh. Even in difficult situations, he's my help to laugh. I want to encourage you, take a concordance if you've never done this. Look up the word laugh. Look up the word joy. I believe you will find that the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring that kind of joy, even when it doesn't make sense to you. You see, he wants to help us. The Holy Ghost is your help. Say, the Holy Spirit is my help to laugh. So this week, you should look for some opportunities to laugh. You know, the Bible tells us in Nehemiah that the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Where do you find that? That's not a fleeting smile or just a good joke you heard. That's deep on the inside. And sometimes you just got to position yourself. Get there by the help of the Holy Ghost. Know that the guide on the inside, the Holy Spirit, who is your help, who lives on the inside, is going to do that. And he is not just there to help you laugh, but the Holy Spirit is there to help you really live. He's there to help you really live. He was sent for you to really live. What do I mean by that? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17 says this: Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 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 For where the Spirit of the Lord is, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, the New Living Translation says there is freedom. There is freedom. And so today I'm just reminding us that he's our help. He's our paraclete. He's the one who comes alongside. He's the God on the inside that every moment of your life, even when it's difficulty, he can help you go right through that. Say, look, why don't you stand right now? I just feel like the Lord wants us to speak out loud what it is that He has sent the Holy Spirit to us for. I just want you to say, the Holy Spirit is my help.
It's my help.
Now I want you to close your eyes right now. And you have a situation right now that you're thinking about that you need. Say, the Holy Spirit is my help. Now tap into the Holy Spirit that's on the inside right now. Right now. If you pray in the Holy Ghost, begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. We're going to just do this together. We're just going to do this together. Because I think sometimes we don't know how to put into practice what we've heard. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is my help. Now declare it. Now declare it. Say it. Say it with an emphasis. Say, the Holy Spirit is my help. It's personal. Hallelujah. Now say this. Say, the Holy Spirit is my help to be led. He speaks to me. And I listen. Now I just want you to just be quiet right now where you're at and close your eyes. And I want you just to listen for his still small voice because he's right there. Say, the Holy Spirit, he's my help to be led. I hear his voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now say this. Say, the Holy Spirit is my help to learn. He's my help to learn. Glory to God. He wants you to learn to hear his voice clearer. Clearer today than yesterday. Clearer tomorrow than today. He wants you to progress in hearing his voice. So that when he tells you to take a different way to work, you will. When he tells you to disengage from that conversation, you will. When he tells you, don't buy that. Sometimes you won't waste your money if you listen to him. Hallelujah. Say, he's my help to learn. Now I want you to think of that person that's unlovable in your life. We've all got them. We've all got them. That person that's unlovable that you just, sometimes they just make you mad. I want you to close your eyes, think of them right now, and now you're just going to release them to God. You're going to release them to God, and I want you to say, they could be family, they could be friends, they could be co-workers that you're upset with right now. They could be cousins, aunts, uncles, nephews, nieces, whatever it is, just go ahead and release them right now and say, the Holy Spirit is my help to love. Now, if you'll listen, he's going to tell you how to love. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel like right now somebody is getting some specific direction on what they're supposed to do with a particular individual that you're having a hard time loving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now say this. Say, the Holy Spirit is my help to laugh. Now I want you just to go ahead. I want you just to laugh. That may seem a little forced, but go ahead and just laugh. Yeah. It's okay. Just let it come from down on the inside. Just let it come. Don't worry, we're not going to force anybody to just get drunk in the spirit. That's not what I'm doing right now. I want you to just get tapped in on the inside that the Lord is the source of your joy. He's the source of joy. Joy. Joy when it doesn't make sense. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know, sometimes you just got to laugh at the devil when he tries to do terrible things. That's not going to work, devil. I read the back of the... I've got inside information. The Lord said to me that it's going to be all right. And when you've got that on the... You can laugh because you can say, you're going to try that again? No, 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 devil, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now say this. Say, he's my help to live like no one else. He wants you to live differently. Above the fray, above the culture wars, above all of that, the political junk, the news, this, that, the other, the fear. He wants you to live above that. And the only way we can do that is know this, that the guide on the inside, the Holy Spirit, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. My help is on the inside in every matter of life. Whether it's going good or whether it's a challenge, I can make it. Now say that out loud. Say, I can make it. He's my help. To be led. He's my help to learn. He's my help to love. He's my help to laugh. He's my help to live. Hallelujah. Now just begin to thank him and worship him together. Let's worship him. Lift your voice in this place. If you're at home, just begin to lift your voice. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. We stir up the gift of God on the inside. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Are you glad you came to church today?
Amen.
I preached myself happy. Amen. You know, sometimes you think us preachers, could be Pastor Joe, could be Reverend Ennis, could be me, Pastor Christine, Reverend Christine, could be any one of us giving you a message. And I got to tell you, sometimes you look at, it's easy just to kind of sit back and go, oh yeah, that's easy for them to say. Reverend Ennis said it in a message several months back. He said, we all got stuff. Right? So David encouraged himself in the Lord. So now this week, here's your assignment. Here's your assignment this week. I want you to remind yourself that you've got the helper on the inside. He is your help to be led. In other words, you're going to know what to do and when to do it and what to say, even when it doesn't make sense. It's true. It's true. He's going to help you. He's going to help you not only to be led, but he's going to help you to learn. To learn things that are hard that you thought you couldn't learn. I can't learn that computer program. Yes, you can. I can't learn. Stop saying it. Stop saying it. Stop saying it. Right? I was reminded of that, Reverend Ennis. I was talking to him on the phone. And I said something about my instrument play. I said, I can't sight read very good. And he did it in all good fun. He wasn't being mean to me. So don't get all upset at him. But he said, Pastor, if you keep saying that, that's what's going to happen.
That's right.
I was like, you're right. The power of your words makes a difference. You're right. If you keep saying I can't, guess what? You won't. So I'm just encouraging all of us. We can do this. We can live differently. We have the Holy Ghost on the inside. So stir yourself up this week. Say, I've got the helper on the inside who is helping me to be led. He's helping me to learn. He is helping me to love. He is helping me to laugh. And he is helping me to live. Amen. Glory to God. Our closing verse today, we're going to go ahead and put that up. Amen. I'm excited because I sense there's an opening coming for our church. We've got several people that are going to be baptized. I'm excited about that. I want to encourage you. We want to support them. Make it a point. If you're watching online and maybe work schedules or whatever, just make sure that July 18th you come. We want to support all those that are being baptized. Anybody who wants to be baptized.
Yes.
I believe that we've got four or five people being baptized. We're going to yes. And I want to just tell you that baptism is probably one of the most easy ways you can share your faith with somebody.
That's right.
Say, come and share in my baptism. Come and share in my baptism. Come and support me. Come to my church, and then we're going to all go over to the Boys and Girls Club at 1 o'clock, and we're going to have a baptism service. You know, back in the days, in fact, in some parts of the world, it's still this way. When you're baptized, everybody in town sees what's going on. Reverend Christopher Alam, who is a colleague in the Northeast region, he's an international evangelist. He grew up Muslim in Pakistan. And when he gave his heart to Christ, he was baptized by a Swedish fellow in front of the entire village. He was a marked man. He had to literally flee Pakistan and move to Sweden because that's the kind of faith we're talking about. We're talking about faith that goes down to your toes. Right? And not too long after that, several years later, the extremists killed the pastor who had baptized him. But he was responsible for many, many, many people's lives being changed. Now, I say that not to get you all down and out. I say that to say this. Baptism is a pronouncement of what has happened on the inside. It is a way to tell your story through a visual illustration that says, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. I was buried with Christ and raised to new life. I want to tell you, bring your friends, bring your family, ask them to support you. It is a great day to bring somebody to church. It's an awesome day. And I want to get people to be thinking about that, praying about that service. I believe it's going to be a great opportunity. I'm actually going to preach about baptism so that people understand it. And then the other thing I'm going to talk about is, or not talk about, but I always do this at the end I'll even have people at the last minute, if that's what they want to do, there's water here, and if you want to be baptized, let's do it.
Amen.
And so we're going to go ahead. That invitation is going to be there. I'm just telling my church family up front how you can be praying, okay? And then the other thing is, I'm just taking a moment. You don't mind. We're all family right now. If you're watching online, as a guest, it's all right. The other thing is, this whole thing with the horn being given to me and me brushing them, I have not played the trumpet / flugelhorn in many years. I haven't played the flugelhorn in 30 years. And I haven't played my trumpet in probably 5 or 6. And thank you. I wasn't going to play today. But Reverend Joe said, I think you should just play. Because I was just going to come to practice and then put it away and then wait till I was more confident. You know, and so, but the Holy Spirit, Reverend Anderson and I have been talking, that there's some of you out there that got some music talent that maybe you put on the shelf many years ago.
Right.
And we want you to stir that up. So we're going to be letting you know, probably next week, letting you know about some ways that you can kind of brush up and get that, you know, maybe you don't have an instrument. Let's believe God together, put our faith out there, we're going to get an instrument. I'm believing right now, we're going to get one of our teenagers is believing God for, well, I don't know if she's actually believing God, I was talking to her, and I know I'm believing God. I'm saying I want to get her a violin because she plays violin and she stopped playing during the pandemic. And I said, I'm just believing God. We're going to get her a violin. We're going to get her a violin.
Yes.
And we're going to see God do some things with music ministry.
Amen.
And I'm just stirred up. So if you have, if maybe you haven't sang in a while, or you sung to sing, sung, sang. I'm not sure which, if you're an English grammar person. Anyway, the point is this. Whatever it is that you put on the shelf many years ago, I want you to think about pulling it off the shelf. Maybe there's something that you want to learn.
Amen.
You want to learn. I'm believing that God's going to start to bring resources, instruments, and people to us to help us to just encourage people to start making a joyful noise to the Lord.
Amen.
If I can if I can start playing the flugelhorn after 31 years.
You did good, Pastor.
And I've only had it for about 10 days. I've had the horn. And you might see a little ring right here. That's because I haven't played in a long time. So dust it off. Put your faith out there. If you don't have the instrument, you need to believe God for one. Let's believe God together. I want to hear about it. I want you to tell me, you know what? I used to play flute. I used to play clarinet. I used to play cello. Man, it'd be nice to have cello in worship. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Somebody playing cello? I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. Just love you. Pastor sees things happening, and I believe that God's going to do some things with us in our youth ministry as we move forward. Young people will find other musicians. They're going to. I see it. I see it. Amen? So, praise God. Let's close with our verse. I've been yapping. Hallelujah. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121.